Hug Samayak, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyous wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Hag Pesach Sameach to you, as well as the listeners, and may you be blessed by today's lesson. As we finish our more simple overview of the spring appointments that God made with all mankind. But first, let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, you are our El Shaddai, our God Almighty, who sent us your Passover lamb, our reason for living. Because without your salvation, we are nothing. Because of your resurrection, we can confess that Satan is a defeated foe, soon to be even more realized at your second coming. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones, and also for the recent health request. May your shalom be granted to all our listeners as we pray they are joyously blessed. We thank you. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. So, Hag Pesach Sameach means joyful Passover festival. For escaping from Egypt's slavery, and although for us Christians, the day of his crucifixion is very sad. But in reality, I thank God for it, especially because he resurrected, that we will be looking at today.
Really, that is the most happy day of the year. Of the entire year for Christians.
I believe so. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
As we said last week, our study on the minor prophets is on hold so we can go over the spring feast, not in as much detail as we did in 2017, but since Christ's resurrection is this Sunday, fulfilling his third appointment on the Feast of First Fruits, incorrectly known as Easter, we should address it for our new listeners.
But should you want a deeper teaching, just go to our radio section on our webpage, shofarministries.net, to the year 2017.
Yes. And there is a 5-week detailed study archived for your added learning.
But first, that update on Israel's major elections.
Oh, yeah, that was really something. It was a nail-biter last Tuesday night. But by Wednesday, Netanyahu's Likud party won by only one seat of 36. The left's Benny Gantz's party got 35. Now Bibi will ask a few of the other parties with, you know, lesser seats to join in to form a coalition, which must add up to at least 61 seats, which is a majority of the 120-seat Knesset governing body.
Well, Bibi says he already has about 68 seats, so it sounds like it's a done deal.
That's right. And President Trump really helped on this one with moving the embassy and recognizing the Golan as Israel's sovereign property.
And Israelis do tend to vote for the candidate who has the most clout with the U.S.
And Bibi and the Donald do get along very well.
For sure, and this is his fifth term, right?
Yes, although not consecutively, but it's still a record breaker. And Bibi has held many other positions in the government, including Israel's ambassador to the UN.
Yeah, but now Trump's upcoming deal of the century will certainly say a lot about their friendship.
I suppose, although I think everyone knows Bibi is already quite aware of what's in that deal. Which is why he could promise the voters just 2 days before the election that he would annex certain settlement blocks on the west bank of the Jordan River to secure their Jewish permanency, which probably helped him win.
But the international left sees it as occupied Palestinian territory.
Of course, it is not, though.
Right.
And last Saturday, Israeli aircraft fired many missiles into Syria, hitting a very important Iranian missile and scientific research factory, killing an unknown number, but two included foreign missile scientists, one from Belarus, which, as you know, was part of the Soviet Union, and North Korea.
You know, only a couple of missiles were shot down before reaching their targets.
And many did hit the center, and Iran is really upset about the Russian intercept defense systems because they apparently were not enabled. It is suspected President Trump, in defense of Israel, warned Russia just not to interfere when targeting Iranian sites in Syria.
So, you think Putin made a deal with Trump?
More than likely. Perhaps it's over Venezuela that, you know, we in return remain a low player on the Maduro issue, at least for a while. With that said, Netanyahu and Putin do get along pretty well anyway, so there could also be a, you know, behind-the-scenes deal there as well.
We'll see.
And this is very unusual, and it's from this left-leaning Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. But it actually ruled in favor for President Trump when last week it determined that the government can at least temporarily continue to send immigrant asylum seekers back to Mexico while waiting for their hearing.
Well, you know, that really is amazing.
And the sanctuary cities are getting a little nervous about the prospects of having to let illegals into their town. Did you know Ohio has 8 sanctuary locations, as in Lake County and Painesville?
Yes, also Columbus, Dayton, Lima, Lorain, Lucas County, and Oberlin.
And obviously, the Dems are not liking that prospect at all.
Although, they are the reason we have sanctuary cities at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, and as we are sure you already heard, Attorney General Barr told Congress he is now seriously looking into probable spying from the Obama administration on the Trump campaign in 2016.
Well, finally, it's about time.
Yes, but I do have a problem, and I think I should mention it. I am very concerned about President Trump promoting the dangerous 5G technology, and Minneapolis and Chicago say it's already up and running there.
Yeah, you told me you would write about the dangers in the next newsletter, right?
That is the plan.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. And for our local listeners, mark your calendars for Friday, May 3rd, as we will be at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m.
Yes, come and take part in our open forum to ask your questions concerning the Lord's soon return.
Amen.
All right, last week we clarified the extremely important difference between God's feast versus Jewish feasts and Holy Convocation, which actually means rehearsals. So let us read again, like we did last week, Leviticus 23, verse 2, but read it as it should be read.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointments of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsal gatherings, these are my appointments.
Okay, they are God's appointments to be yearly rehearsed, so to better recognize how the Lord would keep those appointments with mankind. You know, God spoke to the children of Israel first because they were the first chosen. We weren't there yet. But we are now chosen as well because we have been grafted into Israel's olive tree.
As stated in Romans 11.
Yes. We have not replaced Israel, as some religions claim, for they will all be saved during Jacob's, or better put, Israel's trouble, also called the birth pangs, because Israel will be rebirthed, or spiritually reborn, and all believers will then be in the Messianic kingdom when Jesus bodily returns to earth.
Known as the Second Coming, Revelation 19.
Mm-hmm. So, there are 7 appointments, and Jesus has already kept 4. Passover, Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, and Pentecost, with the other 3 yet still to be fulfilled in some fall season.
Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles.
So last week, we also explained the two calendars and its importance to understand that, at least if you are a serious student.
Well, Hebrews 5 says we all should be.
Amen. So last week we talked mostly about Passover, but we also included a teaching about the 4 days before Passover on Nisan 10 called Palm Sunday, the only day Jesus allowed them to call him king.
And that's very significant.
You know, it really is, because during the reign of the coming Antichrist, since Satan desires kingship and godship as well, and therefore is a mimicker of Christ, I believe the Antichrist would very likely declare himself God and King on a Palm Sunday too.
Yeah, because Jesus did.
That's right. And that'll probably be 3.5 years into the tribulation.
Called the abomination, confirmed in Daniel 9:27.
And by the way, 3.5 years from Yom Kippur just happens to land on a Palm Sunday, Nisan 10. So that is a huge hint as to when the tribulation could begin with a signed covenant, and therefore, what day? And 7 years later, it would end as well.
On a Yom Kippur some year.
Mm-hmm. We also talked briefly about the leaven, and today we will finish by looking a little further into the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and of course, first fruits.
The cream of the crop.
Yes, it is. So, let's go back historically to Egypt. After the Passover lamb was eaten, and after they applied the blood to the doorposts, and the death plague had come, they quickly left Egypt after sundown, therefore now the 15th of Nisan, the first Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, they camped at Sukkot to retrieve the bones of Joseph.
Reference to that is in Genesis 50 and Exodus 14.
Mm-hmm. Then on the 16th, they camped at Etham, or Etham, whichever.
Yeah. Numbers 33:6.
The next morning, still the 16th until sundown, they journeyed to Pi Haroth, reaching the Red or the Reed Sea in the evening, therefore, now, Nisan 17.
Exodus 14:9.
Then the Hebrews crossed through the parted sea through most of the night when the Egyptians entered also, and where God destroyed them all, as he let the waters fall back into the sea during, Scripture says, the morning watch.
Which is between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., Exodus 14, 23 through 31.
Mm-hmm. Centuries later, also on Nisan 17, Jesus would put the nail in the coffin of Satan by rising from the dead, so had to be also during the morning watch on the same anniversary date.
Because he is the first fruits of the resurrection.
You know, do you have any idea how so many never recognize that fact of how God so accurately and intricately piece this all together so typologically?
Well, you know, only God could.
No way could you say it's just a coincidence.
We are so blessed to know our Hebraic roots.
It's a huge learning tool. And we are actually blessing God when we share this information, as we pray you all will. So again, on Passover Day, which is Nisan 14, soon after Jesus' side was pierced at 3 o'clock, his body was taken off the cross just before the High Holy Day, according to John 19:31, and referred to as the extra Sabbath day of unleavened bread, would begin at sundown. Now it's Nisan 15, but still on Thursday, and the start of the 7 days of unleavened bread, where no yeast could be eaten, and no leaven could be eaten or even exist anywhere in the house.
Because leaven is always a picture of sin.
Mm-hmm. He rose early Sunday morning on Nisan 17, again the Feast of First Fruits, which might not always be on the 17th, but is always on the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread, Remember, as we said last week, the Jewish people simply call the whole 8 days the season of Passover.
But includes three feasts.
This day of his resurrection that year was Nisan 17, and is also the anniversary of when the Jews' evil enemy Haman, remember, was hung in the book of Esther, sparing the death of all the Jews, and therefore instead granting them life.
And also on Nisan 17, Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, representing new life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, on their civil calendar. So let's read the scripture defining the barley feast of first fruits. Again, always on a Sunday. Leviticus 23:10-11.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
That's right. Okay, now this is very important. Jesus, as priest, also presented himself to the Father in heaven at the morning oblation,
which is 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Remember when Mary Magdalene, being the first to see him resurrected, wanted to embrace him, but he instructed her not to touch him at this time, for he had not yet gone to his Father.
To fulfill the wave offering.
Right. And according to Jewish law, the priests were not to have any contact with anyone for 3 days till after this special first fruits offering to God was made in the temple.
So Jesus really would fulfill every requirement.
He even told Mary to go to my brethren and say to them that he was about to ascend to his Father and your Father and to my God and your God.
In John 20:17, and also confirmed in Hebrews 9:12.
So, after he returned later that same day, still Sunday, he appeared to his disciples and then he encouraged them to touch him.
Luke 24:39.
So, he fulfilled the wave offering by quickly leaving the earth. The Greek word is harpazo, and it means quickly. And he presented himself to his Father and returned, fulfilling every aspect of the Feast of First Fruits, literally.
So now he could be touched.
Yes, and he even ate fish and honey with them. In John 20, verse 22, he also breathed the Holy Spirit on them and opened their understanding of Scripture. They were now ready to reach with power. We'll be covering Pentecost in June, of course, but first fruits is the scriptural day when they were told to begin the counting of 50 days to Pentecost. And we read that in Leviticus 23:15-16.
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, first fruits, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
In other words, they always begin counting on Sunday during Passover from the Feast of First Fruits, so Pentecost would always be on a Sunday as well. Unfortunately, the modern Jews, since they really don't highly recognize First Fruits anymore, they incorrectly start counting from the extra Sabbath day on the first day of unleavened bread. So Pentecost doesn't always fall on a Sunday on their calendar. But we follow the Word of God over all traditions, especially when they conflict with Scripture. Everything God does is precise, orderly, and with much detail. So again, he rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits because he is the first fruits of the resurrection, as Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Interesting that in the tribulation soon after our rapture, there is a group of 144,000 Jews who will get saved pretty quickly as their spiritual eyes will be opened. Perhaps they will actually be able to see our departure, the harpazo, like Elisha and Elijah, saw him go up and then received a double anointing, as I believe the 144,000 will receive and will need as well. Anyhow, Revelation 14 refers to them now as the first fruits. So obviously, we are gone and replaced by these wonderful new evangelists that are granted a special seal of protection where not even a hair on their head will be hurt. Revelation 7. How about that? So anyway, there is a fire of enthusiasm in Israel these days, as at least the righteous ones, as many are expecting their Messiah and have even built an altar for sacrificing just outside the Western Wall, and have for a few years now done what they term a reenactment of the sacrifice of the Lamb. Gosh, we're getting so close. And they are fervently praying that they will be allowed to have the Passover sacrifice this year on the actual Temple Mount. It's coming up soon. We'll soon find out. And they say they can easily move the altar up there if, when given permission, of course. I don't know. That is, however, kind of unlikely. It would be almost a miracle, but we'll see. But they are truly believing and know that their temple will soon be built, and that President Trump will play a big part in that. Most suspect it will be part of the peace deal soon to be revealed, and its contents will give the church many clues as to our departure. By the way, everything is prepared and ready to go for when the temple is completed. Even all the priests, their vestments, the utensils, harps, shofars, silver trumpets. The high priest has even been designated. The red heifer has been born in Israel. So they are very close. And we know from Revelation 11 and Daniel 9 and 12, I think, that there will be a temple built. And it'll be finished during the tribulation. And since the church is gone just prior to the tribulation, well, you know where I'm going with this. We are truly a blessed generation. We are that 70th year from the fig tree. You know, the 70th year from Israel's statesmanship. And we know that 70 is a very important number. So let me ask you, are you saved? If so, are you a witness for Christ? Is your light showing? When is the last time you shared this wonderful gospel or talked about how he fulfills these feasts so intricately? Or are you truly saved even in the heart? Can't just be a mind salvation. It's got to be in your heart. Have you accepted that gift? Or do you want to pay the debt yourself? In hell, I might add. Because he went through hell for you. He paid your debt. Just accept it. It's always your choice who pays. How well do you know him? Jesus is your Savior. Again, he paid your debt. Wake up, sinner. Don't continue to be a fool. Oh, my goodness, time is out, and I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in every way possible. Psalm 122, verse 6. Looking forward to speaking with you next time. Have a great Resurrection Sunday, and make sure that you tell people that it really is Jesus' day. And you know what? Forget the bunnies. Shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.